This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Adelson's in the news today. On Monday, during her arraignment, Donna Adelson, the matriarch of the Adelson family, faced accusations of orchestrating her son-in-law's murder. Throughout the proceedings, she exhibited a highly animated demeanor, even exclaiming, "Oh my God," at a certain juncture, vigorously shaking her head and displaying a look of shock when a lawyer brought up an alleged scheme to take her own life. This court appearance, of course, follows the recent conviction of her son, Charlie Adelson, for the homicide of Dan Markle, who was previously married to Charlie's sister. Let's now take a listen to that hearing in its entirety in the courtroom.
All rise. Court is now in session. The Honorable Judge Stephen Eller presiding.
Good afternoon. Everyone can be seated. Before we get going, I'm going to log into Zoom. I believe Ms. Kappelman, the alleged victim's family, is waiting to view the proceedings on Zoom.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, let me get signed in. And from there, we'll get started. All right, we're here this afternoon in State of Florida versus Donna Adelson, 2023 CF 3226. Counsel of record as to each party may make their appearances.
Georgia Kappelman and Sarah Catherine Dugan for the state.
Marisol Descalzo on behalf of Donna Adelson, who's present in court and seated to my left.
Mr. Pimentel, Mr. Toomey, go ahead.
Greg Toomey, Your Honor, for both the Sheriff's Office and Yes Care, the medical provider in jail.
Sheriff's Office General Counsel James Pimentel,
sir. All right. For everyone that is observing on Zoom, please do not interfere with the hearing. Of course, you may observe as to everything that takes place. Mr. Scalzo, I've reviewed your emergency motion to enjoin the jail. Is there any further argument or testimony that you wish to take in support of your motion?
Your Honor, I'll just add to supplement to my motion, which was filed last week, that we are now on day 22 of direct observation. Mrs. Adelson continues unable to participate in her defense. She's not permitted any papers. I cannot mail her anything. I did have a call with her on Friday, but only because Mrs. Kappelman facilitated it for me. And on that call, it was not a private call. Ms. Adelson was forced to put me on speakerphone with guards listening. There is just no way that Mrs. Adelson can prepare for her defense in this manner.
All right. There is one question that I had specifically as to this issue, and I noticed within your pleading that you had quotes from your client and also some observations of what has been taking place with the correctional staff. Are you alleging that you have no ability to access your client or that there is limited contact with your client?
No, Your Honor. I'm not saying that there is no ability. The direct observations that are contained within my motion were not observed by myself, but Daniel Rashbaum, Charlie Adelson's attorney, had a visit with Charlie Adelson, and he was able to swap it out for Miss Donna Adelson the week of, I think, November 27th or 28th. So he was able to have that conversation with her in person. I've had a conversation with her, like I said, over the phone. I have been told that I can do a 60-minute increment visit with her in person. There is no video visitation ability. So I would say that my ability to meet with her is limited. It's not non-existent. However, my ability to share, for example, discovery, paperwork, this motion, the motion I filed with Ms. Adelson, is non-existent because she's not permitted to have paper.
Very well. We'll take up the other aspect of this in a moment, actually, which deals with the level of confinement and what is going on with it. Ms. Kappelman, does the state have any argument to make concerning this matter?
The state would defer to Mr. Toomey, who's here to speak on those matters that I think you're addressing right now.
Very well. Mr. Pimentel, Mr. Toomey.
Good afternoon, Judge.
Good afternoon.
As far as this particular issue goes, there is no impediment to her speaking with her lawyer, seeing her lawyer, over and above using a tablet. The tablet has a headset that can be used as a ligature. Otherwise, she's free to enter the jail. Chief Mack is here. He's assured me that they can have visit. I don't understand the problem that is perceived, but there is no impediment to an attorney-client visitation. Am I correct?
The first question, we'll have Chief Mack give some testimony so that way we have a clear record. But the level of confinement and also the current restrictions that are in place, are these because there were, at some point, statements alluding to self-harm during the jail phone calls?
And at booking here. When she was booked into the jail here, she made a statement that she wanted to die. Now, before she was arrested in Miami, she also had a phone call with her son, who's obviously in jail here. 25-minute phone call. I personally listened to it. She very clearly spoke about a plan to kill herself using sleeping pills.
One moment. Ms. Adelson, please keep your comments to yourself. Let your lawyer argue on your behalf.
Spoke of a plan to kill herself if she could not escape the country before arrest. That was known to the folks in this jail when she got here. That's why she's on watch. The mental health professionals see her every day. They are not satisfied that she's safe. And it's up to them to decide it.
I'll give you an opportunity to respond, Mr. Sclazo. Mr. Toomey, one more thing before we move on into taking Chief Mack's testimony. Is there a specific procedure that the jail has for dealing with inmates with a threat of self-harm? Chief Mack, let me swear you in. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes, sir.
If you can explain to me what the procedure is, Chief Mack, and from there, Mr. Toomey, Mr. Pimentel, I'll allow you to direct Chief Mack on any other matters you believe to be pertinent. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Anytime anyone makes a statement or we get evidence of someone wanting to actually harm themselves, they're placed on direct observation. On direct observation, they receive a smock as well as a suicide blanket. And they're placed in an isolated room. It's just direct observation. It's what it really is. So we have a staff member outside the door that actually watches them around the clock and make sure they don't cause any harm to themselves.
When are the individuals who are under this status reevaluated for going back to general population?
That's done daily with Yes Care personnel.
Mr. Toomey, if you have any further examination for Chief Mack, I'll allow you to do so at this time.
Chief, is there a way for someone that's on suicide watch to have a direct visit with their lawyer?
Yes, we will pull the individual from the particular area that they're housed in and put them in an office with just the attorney.
And are there any remote capabilities for someone who is in the suicide or close watch observation wing?
Remote capabilities?
As far as phone calls, Zoom, tablets, things of that nature.
That person will be escorted to an office where we can actually see through the door, a glass window, and the officer will stand on the outside and just watch them from the outside.
And this is related to the any concerns you have about self-harm?
Yes, that's because of we just keep constant view. Keep them in vision to make sure that they don't do anything or pick up anything they can take back to the room and harm themselves later.
Mrs. Scalzo, do you have an examination for Chief Mack?
I do, Your Honor. May I proceed, Your Honor?
You may.
Thank you. Would you like me to proceed from here?
That's fine.
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Mackey, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Mack.
Chief Mack. Chief Mack. Have you listened to this 25-minute call that Ms. Adelson had before she was arrested?
Not in its entirety. I actually heard the portion where she was speaking of wanting to do a pact with her husband. I'm assuming that's who the individual was.
Chief Mack, do you participate in the decision on whether Ms. Adelson needs to remain on direct observation?
No, ma'am. That's a medical.
Okay. Is the medical person that makes that decision a psychiatrist or another person?
That's Dr. Sapp.
So Dr. Sapp, is Dr. Sapp a psychiatrist?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know if Dr. Sapp has examined Ms. Adelson?
She advised me that she spoke with her on different occasions or been around the area while another clinician was talking with her.
Well, how is Ms. Dr. Zapp?
Sapp.
Zapp. How is Dr. Zapp? Zach with a C, I'm sorry?
If you could spell it, Chief Mac.
S-A-P-P. Zapp.
Zapp. So how is Dr. Zapp supposed to determine whether Mrs. Adelson can be removed from direct observation if she doesn't evaluate her?
From what I was advised, she has evaluated her and also other members of her staff.
Chief Mac, would it surprise you if Dr. Zapp has not evaluated Mrs. Adelson at all?
I couldn't say that I wouldn't think that she would tell me something that wasn't true.
Do you have a report from Dr. Zapp establishing?
I wouldn't take, because of HIPAA laws, I don't necessarily get involved with medical paperwork of that nature.
Chief Mack, did you come to court today knowing that you were going to testify about whether or not Mrs. Adelson was on direct observation or not?
I knew I was supposed to be here, but the extent, I can't say I was privileged to told that I was going to actually testify, but I was prepared if I did. Okay.
And Chief Mack, knowing that you had to come here today possibly to testify, did you inquire how many times Dr. Zapp had met with Mrs. Adelson?
I did not, because they actually see everyone that's on direct daily, and it's more than just Ms. Adelson.
Chief Mack, are you aware that Dr. Zapp has never evaluated or met with Mrs. Adelson?
I can only go with what I've been told by Ms. Zapp.
Chief Mack, are you aware that Dr. Pugh is the only psychiatrist that has seen Mrs. Adelson, and that was on November 27th?
I didn't get that information as to who saw her. All I needed to know, or all I need to be privileged to, is that she needed to be on direct observation.
Chief Mack, do you have a list of all the times that Mrs. Adelson has been evaluated to determine whether she can be removed from direct observation?
Like I previously said, the only time I know they see them daily. And with that, I don't get any paperwork because I'm not a medical professional. I'm just making sure that her safety is taken care of.
Of course, Chief Mack, but just to be clear, I'm not asking whether you've seen any paperwork. I'm asking, in preparation for coming here today, were you advised how many times she had visits?
No.
Did you ask how many times she had been visited?
Not just knowing that she's being seen daily. I don't ask who actually saw her or what the conversation was pertaining to.
Chief Mack, if she is being visited daily, would there be a report of those visits?
Yes, it should be notes that they take.
To the daily. Daily.
Right.
Okay. And Chief Mack, if what you're saying is what you were told is correct, there should be a report from Dr. Zapp and from whatever clinician is meeting her daily, right? About the evaluation.
Yes, I would assume it is.
And Chief Mack, did you know that Mrs. Adelson was actually arrested in Miami?
Yes.
Okay. And did you know that she spent some time in jail in Miami?
Yes.
And did you know that she was there for about 5 days before she was transported to Leon County?
Should be something like that, yes.
And were you aware that she was at a county jail, very similar to the Leon County jail?
Well, I've never been to Miami's facility, so I can't tell you exactly what they do or what their policies are.
Okay. Chief Mack, were you aware that Mrs. Adelson was also on direct observation in Miami-Dade County for a period of time while she was there?
No, I didn't actually see any paperwork of it.
And Chief Mack, did anybody tell you, any of your clinicians tell you that actually Mrs. Adelson was evaluated by the same psychiatrist over a period of 72 hours in Miami, and she was released to general population?
I heard something of it, but I don't necessarily, I go by our contract provider when we're doing anything in the MHL.
Who told you that she might have been evaluated in Miami and released to general population.
It was just something that was said. I think she may have spoken to an officer and said it.
Chief Mack, if she would have spoken to a clinician about that, you wouldn't know about that, right? Because that's HIPAA?
I wouldn't have known about it because I didn't speak to my clinicians. I just speak with them about Ms. Adelson in general.
What general conversations are you having about Mrs. Adelson with your clinicians, Chief Mack?
It's just where they, how they evaluated her and where she is in her evaluation.
Okay.
If she's going to be released on a step-down program or anything of that nature.
Okay. Can you tell us generally what you have been told? What was her evaluation like? When will she be stepped down? What's happening?
That's something that they will tell me when that occurs, in the way of when she feels as though that Ms. Adelson is at that stage in the process, she will inform me of the step-down process.
Who is she?
That's either of the Yes Care personnel. Normally, it's Dr. Sapp, Dr. Pugh, or Ms. Smith, Ms. Richardson, Tori Richardson.
Okay. So it's Ms. Richardson, Dr. Pugh, and Dr. Zapp. Those are the three people you're communicating with about Mrs. Adelson's treatment or step-down process?
Periodically, I have a captain that actually is over medical, but I go through medical frequently.
Okay. Chief Mack, what did you do to prepare for today's hearing?
I actually just looked at some of the notes, even read the allegations concerning what Ms. Adelson was actually, I think it was more your allegations of what occurred in the facility.
What notes did you review before you came here, Chief Mack?
Other than looking at event logs, pretty much that was the extent of it.
What are event logs?
Event logs are what the officers sit actually on direct observation and documents what's happening while she's on direct observation.
Has there been anything that stood out to you in those event logs that the officers are leaving behind?
Mr. Sclazo, before this continues on, I want this to remain focused on the subject matter of the motion itself. This is not a deposition. If you have further examination, I'll allow you to finish.
Thank you, Your Honor. Chief Mack, are you aware that the only person that has been communicating or evaluating Mrs. Adelson since the one time on November 27th that Dr. Pugh saw her is Ms. Richardson?
Richardson. I'm not aware of who all. I know Ms. Pugh seen her once, twice. I'm not sure. But it's just I'm getting information from my HSA and Dr. Sapp.
So to go back, you're saying Dr. Zapp has personally told you that Dr. Zapp has visited Mrs. Adelson?
She told me she was in the area with Ms. Adelson. I don't know because I wasn't present as to what occurred during that meeting.
So what does it mean she's in the area? That she was around?
Yes, ma'am. That's what she advised me, that she was around.
Did you interpret that to mean that she evaluated Mrs. Adelson or that she was around Mrs. Adelson?
I interpreted it as she being present in the area.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. No further questions.
Mr. Toomey, any redirect?
Perhaps two. Chief Mack, Ms. Richardson, is she a mental health counselor?
Yes, sir.
All right. If there were notes regarding the interaction between mental health and the defendant in this case, where would those notes be?
I'm going to be in a medical file.
You recognize this document as her medical file. It's moving around a bit. It's been a day.
Yes, I would say that was a medical file.
All right. Do you know if anybody's asked for these besides me?
No, sir.
That's all, Judge.
Chief Mack, you may take your seat. Mr. Toomey, the place I did want to start with there being a procedure in place is to assure that this is not random or arbitrary. Is there a procedure with regard to inmates with self-harm concerns or direct observation?
There is. It's standard in each and every jail. It is that until a mental health counselor or another mental health provider, like a psychiatrist or a psychologist, is assured that that person does not possess or present a risk of self-harm, then they stay on that status. And they figure out where that status is by charting daily. A mental health counselor sees her.
Have you been able to provide a copy of either the policy or the patient file to Ms. Adelson's attorney?
I haven't been asked. I can tell you, before this motion was written, no one has asked for these medical records because I am the final arbiter in this state for this client. I decide whether the records are going out.
Very well. Moving on to the second issue that this raises, Ms. Sclazzo, there is a very specific separation of powers issue that this poses for the court. The sheriff runs the jail. I run my courtroom. The DCAs have been fairly clear when it comes to the court essentially directing medical care, what goes on in the facility. It's basically a no-no without an actual violation of the Constitution. What is my authority to actually step in the situation and give you what you're asking for?
Your Honor, I believe that there has been a violation of the Constitution here. There is, Ms. Adelson and I have not been permitted to talk behind this glass wall that they're speaking of. The first time we spoke was Friday. She was on speakerphone. I was on speakerphone, and she was sitting with a guard seated next to her. And the only way that that call was facilitated was because Ms. Georgia Kappelman was nice enough to call the jail and arrange it. I have called the jail repeatedly over the past 22 days, begging to be permitted to either speak to Mrs. Adelson or for Mrs. Adelson to speak to me, and no one responds. As to Mr. Toomey's response that nobody has called him, nobody has asked him for records, I tried calling the general counsel's office repeatedly in the past week to try to resolve this issue. I understand what's being said today in court, and like I said in my motion, I understand that there's separation of powers, and I understand that the court is limited in what they can do in directing the jail. But I think that one thing that Your Honor can do is, you have heard that the jail, and Mr. Toomey said, he's the arbiter in this state. All jails run the same. The jail in Miami-Dade County cleared Mrs. Adelson, a psychiatrist, a mental health professional that works for the state, that works for the Department of Corrections, has said that she is not required to be on direct observation. She comes here and all of a sudden that changes. So I feel that there's some sort of disconnect, and I think that there needs to be a third party evaluating her to make the determination. And I think that that's not an unreasonable ask. That's something that the jail can accept, and I think the state is not opposed to that. So that's what I'm asking the court, to allow me to bring in my own mental health professional to evaluate Mrs. Adelson and make a determination whether or not she is a suicide risk, or for the jail to accept the determination or speak to the jailers in Miami-Dade County that observed her and made a completely different determination about her mental state.
Mr. Toomey, Mr. Pimentel, what administrative remedies are actually available to inmates absent the court stepping in?
Well, that is a key question when it comes to injunctions.
That's yes.
There are two means. First, that there's a grievance procedure in the jail that can and must be followed. Second, there is always civil suit, either in this courthouse or the fancy courthouse up the street. So there are legal avenues in place that preclude the entry of an injunction. There was something that was just said. I am not the arbiter for the state. I am for this client in the jails that they have in this state when it comes to sending out the medical records. It's either by release or by subpoena. The authority is there.
Mr. Pimentel, do you have anything further to argue on behalf of the sheriff?
Well, Your Honor, I need to put something on the record first. James Pimentel, general counsel of the sheriff's office. I've been Sheriff McNeil's general counsel for almost 7 years now. I've never heard from this attorney. I haven't heard from anyone representing this defendant. Any assertion, sir, that They've attempted to contact the Office of General Counsel. I have a paralegal. I have email. I've never been contacted by this defendant or this defendant's counsel.
Very well. I'm going to make my findings as follows. As to the issue of there being a Sixth Amendment violation where there is no access by Ms. Adelson to counsel of record, I cannot find that. However, Ms. Adelson being able to confer with counsel privately, Mr. Toomey, Mr. Pimentel, is there an ability to make accommodation for that even in the observation wing?
Yes, Your Honor, there is. Chief Mack and I will work to ensure that. We have a protocol, Your Honor.
Very well. What I would ask you to do then is please speak with defense counsel as to what accommodations can be made so she can visit with counsel privately as she prepares for her case. Obviously, there's a very voluminous amount of discovery that's already been provided by the state. Is that correct, Ms. Kappelman?
Yes, Your Honor.
She is going to need to be able to speak in private with her attorney and go through all documents, all records, all manner of evidence that the state is seeking to use as a part of its case in chief. Does she have ability to use either a computer or some form of multimedia while in direct observation?
Your Honor, she wouldn't be able to do it while in the direct observation cell, but we would make accommodations through security to make that occur.
Very well. According to the policy that you already have in place, when will her status as residing in direct observation be revisited?
Every day, Your Honor, on a daily basis.
Right, Mr. Scalzo, as to issuing an injunction against the jail, I do not believe I have the authority to do so. The District Court of Appeal rulings, and I'm specifically going to cite to Bradshaw versus Sandler. This is found at 955 Southern 2nd, 1219, 4th DCA case from 2007. That specifically dealt with a trial court who ordered a defendant to be taken to a dentist of his choosing. Similar, by analogy, for me to allow Ms. Adelson to be seen by a psychiatrist or psychologist that is a third party is stepping on the separation of powers in that regard. Until there's been an exhaustion of remedies with regard to whatever internal procedure is available for her to avail herself of regarding grievances or other matters with the jail, an injunction is not something that I can entertain at this point. Did you wish to be heard further?
No, Your Honor, not on this topic.
Ms. Kappelman, did you have anything further you wish to argue on behalf of the state?
No, Your Honor.
Right, Mr. Toomey, Mr. Pimentel, and Chief Mack, if you can get with defense counsel, I think that will eliminate next time the need to have any hearings on a basis such as this. Obviously, Ms. Adelson wants to prepare for her trial. She is entitled to do so, but the sheriff runs the jail. I fully recognize that, and I respect that. Do you wish to be heard further?
Nothing further.
No, sir. Right, let's move on to the matter of the arraignment, also why we were here this afternoon as well.
Excuse, Judge?
You are excused.
Your Honor, before they're excused, I would like them to provide me, yes, their business card so that I may contact them. Thank you.
That's fine.
I wrote to you on LinkedIn because I couldn't find them.
As to the matter of the arraignment, does your client waive the reading of the indictment?
Yes, Your Honor.
How does she plead?
Not guilty, Your Honor.
Not guilty plea is entered for the record. While we're here, we might as well have a brief case management as well. Ms. Kappelman, I believe you stated You've already provided discovery to the defense?
Yes, Your Honor.
Mr. Scalzo, realistically, how much time do you think it's going to take you to go through what you've already received?
Your Honor, as long as I have access to Mrs. Adelson, as has been stated here in court, and she has access to be able, as you know, there's recordings in this case, and as long as she's able to listen to them and we're able to listen to them together, we plan to proceed to trial promptly.
Very well. I was thinking of when another case management date would be good to kind of keep a good status of this as far as where it's moving. Is February too early, or would you prefer March?
Oh, no, Your Honor, I'd like earlier. I don't, as long as I can communicate with Mrs. Adelson, I'm happy to have a status in January, if that works for the court and the state.
Ms. Kappelman?
Yes, sir. Can you be available in
January? I definitely don't want to push too hard too fast, but once we get locked into a trial date, absent there being good cause, we're really not going backwards, so I want you to give me realistic estimates as far as how much time it's going to take to prepare. As far as any depositions that you're already aware of that you are going to take in this matter, have you identified those? Have you noticed any?
No, Your Honor, because I have not been able to discuss that with Mrs. Adelson.
Very well. We'll pick back up with this then in January for status. Cheyenne, if you could give me the dates for January. All right, we'll put it on January 9th. I believe that's Ms. Dugan's docket date. January 9th at 2:30. You may appear by Zoom if you need to. And we'll readdress the matter then. Does either party have anything further to address concerning case management, at least for today?
Nothing from the state, Your Honor.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
We are in recess. For everyone on the Zoom, I am about to turn it off. That was the conclusion of the hearing. Have a good afternoon.
That's the latest. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage in the drama of the Adelsons and the accusations of murder. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.